This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Mike. I always thought 7 foot was tall, right? 7 foot's pretty tall. Being a 7 foot person.
6'7"'s pretty tall, too.
Stop. In a game last night between Florida and St. Francis, Florida wins 102-61. They put in their 7'9". 7'9" center. The world's tallest teenager recorded his first collegiate field goal in the Gators' win over St. Francis. His name is Oliver Ryu. And he's 7'9". Like, what does that even look like? If you went and watched, I was watching the highlights this morning. Dude, I'm telling you, I always thought 7-footers were just... Like, when I go down to Nuggets Media Day and they're just walking around down there, Joker's just walking around, and it is... It's like going to a set on Jurassic Park. But then you see this dude. He just towers over everyone on the floor. This little guy is probably like 6'8", and he's trying to guard him. He looks tiny. He looks like you out there, Mike. 7'9" center. The tallest teenager in the world plays for the Florida Gators. 7'9".
Man. That is...
Guy's got to make it to the NBA, right? Just being 7'9" alone has got to get you to the NBA.
I'm looking at a picture. He's kind of skinny. He needs to work on the muscles.
He's
but
still
yeah.
a teenager.
Tall dude.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for his knees.
Yeah. Tall guys struggle with that. You and I don't have to worry about that. Although my knees hurt because I'm just getting old.
Yeah, mine just ache all the time.
Do you think that Michigan knew more about... The Sherrone Moore thing?
Yes.
Before they admitted that they knew more about the Sherrone Moore thing?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Well, they're doing a full-on investigation here. They're investigating not just football, but the athletic department. And Adam Rittenberg of ESPN says this could lead to findings of additional misconduct that might trigger more employment terminations. Interim university president... Domenico Grosso said Wednesday. In a video statement, Grosso described the week since football coach Sherrone Moore's firing as no doubt a challenging time for our university. Obviously, Moore, we know he faces 3 criminal charges, felony third-degree home invasion, allegedly confronting a staff member at her residence, being fired. So he's in big trouble. We know that. That was after being fired, of course, and that was a wild story last week. They're doing more on this, though. And the university commissioned Chicago-based law firm Jenner & Block to conduct a larger review of the athletic department's culture, conduct, and procedures following a series of scandals. If the university learns of information through this investigation or otherwise that warrants the termination of any employee... We will act swiftly, just as we did in the case of Coach Moore. Grasso encouraged those who have information regarding misconduct within the football program or athletic department to contact Jenner and Block. So what do you think they're investigating here, Mike? Are they investigating a culture? Are they investigating? And I guess that would go with it, right? If it's a culture, then they're going to investigate who knew what and when did they know it.
I'm just wondering how many relationships possibly
you think there's more stuff going on
allowed to happen.
You think there's more like inner office relationships going on? That's what they're investigating. My first thought was they were investigating if people knew about it and they just covered it up.
That's what I thought from the very beginning. You can't just have something like this big and nobody know about it.
Yeah.
I mean, these two are going to make eyes at each other.
It is a wild story, a depressing story, no question, that might not be over yet. And it could be. Now, I'm not comparing these two stories, Mike, but like the Penn State thing, when the Sandusky stuff came out, I'm not comparing the stories. I'm just saying that there was the act. There was the stuff that Sandusky was doing, and then there was the people that kind of knew about it, or they loosely knew. They were a little bit aware that he was creepy.
Yeah, the cover up is what killed Penn State for a few years.
Yeah, this is I don't know if this comes out that you know more people knew about it, or there's just more stuff going on. Then you're just going to get it's just going to get really, really ugly for Michigan. And do you want that job? I mean, there's a lot of money there, but there's a lot of penalties and sanctions and all that stuff that's going to happen. Yeah, thanks for that one, Faith. Wanted to hit this one, too. Ohio University fired Coach Brian Smith for cause Wednesday, saying Smith violated his contract by engaging in serious professional misconduct and participating in activities that reflect unfavorably on the university. School did not provide specifics on the conduct right now. But there you go. I don't know what's going on here. Smith's attorney, Rex Elliott, said in a statement, We vigorously dispute Ohio University's grounds for termination for cause of Coach Brian Smith. He is shocked and dismayed by this turn of events, and we plan to fight this wrongful termination to protect his good name. Coach Smith is an ethical man who has done an exemplary job for the university. He wants nothing but the best for the players, coaches, and the entire Bobcat community. I mean, he went 8-4 in his first season. So
yeah, but
they're not moving on from a guy that went 8-4 in his first season without knowing their stuff. All I'm going to say.
Yeah, they have to have evidence, like real evidence. It's not a he said, she said.
Yeah, they're not just going
to. We have to investigate further.
Yeah, no.
They're
in the day and age of everybody getting sued left and right, they're not just going to go, oh, you know what? We heard a rumor. I would imagine, hopefully, for their case, that they did their due diligence on this one.
When they find things out, they go to the legal department, and the legal department looks at it, and the legal department gives it the thumbs up.
Faith says on the Michigan stuff, someone knew something in Michigan. What was his cause for firing her? He had to disclose some type of cause, whatever he made it up to be. Yeah.
Was it just the fact that she had a relationship with him? Because that was a no-no there.
Yeah, you get fired for that if it's in the policy and they say you can't have relationships with people you're working with, and if they find out you do, then they can determine. I guess they could let it go if they wanted to, but they'd also be within their means to, or within their rights to, move on from her. It's a weird one. Mike, the gambling world. It's a crazy world, isn't it? What if I told you there might be a person, an entity creating a market for whether college athletes will enter the transfer portal or not?
Is that Polymarket?
Prediction Market Kalshi, Kalshi, notified a federal regulator on Wednesday that it was self-certifying markets on whether college athletes will enter the transfer portal. While the company says it has no immediate plans to begin offering trading on the portal, the decision still drew sharp criticism from the NCAA. Are you kidding me? This can't happen, right? We can't do this.
I mean, it's probably already being bet on just by some dark website.
We're really going to bet on whether a dude's entering the portal. In a filing, according to ESPN, in a filing submitted by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, Kalshi wrote that contracts on the transfer portal will initially be listed December 17th, and that it intends to list such markets daily. Transfer portal markets were not appearing on the site as of 8 o'clock Eastern Wednesday. The Kalshi company spokesperson told ESPN, "We certify markets all the time that we do not end up listing." So they're certifying this. They haven't done it yet. But this has got to be no. The markets will include NCAA Division I football and basketball players and will be settled when a player publicly announces their intent. So it'll be settled when they announce their intent to enter or officially enter the transfer portal. Yeah, but we've seen people announce that they're going to enter and then end up coming back. That was a case here at UNC with Carver Cheeks, but that was during the summer. So, well, no, I guess that was before we had the, now we just have the one. Phew. That is, and there, so this company's already fighting a bunch of legal battles with state gambling regulators and pushbacks from sports leagues. NCAA President Charlie Baker. Whoa, he's saying something. The NCAA vehemently. That's a tough one for me.
Hang on.
We all have our words. Find the pronouncer guy. Hooligan, say it with me now. Vehemently. That's how you say it. That's always been my word. I just don't like it. What do we got?
Vehemently.
The NCAA.
Vehemently.
Thank you, Robert. Opposes college sports prediction markets. It is already bad enough that student athletes face harassment and abuse for lost bets on game performance, and now Kalshi wants to offer bets on their transfer decisions and status. This is absolutely unacceptable and would place even greater pressure on student athletes while threatening competition integrity and recruiting processes. Their decisions and future should not be gambled with, especially in an unregulated marketplace that does not follow any rules of legitimate sports betting operators. Whew. A lot of news there. A lot of top stories, Mike.
I don't like that gamble, that topic of gambling. Because a player can easily go, hey, guys,
you
I'm going to.
Just like you can with points, you can easily say, hey, you enter the portal, I'm going to give you this. Because it's a big bet.
Yeah, that's no good. Anything allows a player to get quick money, I just don't much care for that. Mm-hmm. Like it's one thing, like you can gamble on
that's
the World
one.
Series and then like, oh, the 1936 White Sox blew it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's one thing. Something that makes it so easy, That doesn't sit right with me.
The NHL and the UFC have partnered with prediction market companies such as Kalshi and Polymarket. The NCAA and the NFL have criticized prediction markets for the type of markets they offer. Prediction markets allow users to trade on the yes or no outcomes of events, including sports. They operate under the oversight of the CFTC, which gives them access to all 50 states. In contrast, traditional sports books are regulated by states and can operate only within the jurisdiction that have passed sports betting laws. Sportsbook Fanatics has launched a prediction market, and DraftKings and FanDuel have announced their plans to enter the prediction market space. So like the prediction market, so that means obviously transfer portal stuff. Would that mean you couldn't bet whether a guy's going to get traded too? You could bet whether a guy's going to sign a contract extension?
Yeah, you...
Whether a coach is going to get fired? Whether the team's going to hire a certain guy?
Yeah, but that one's not as bad because...
Because that's kind of out of their control a little bit, save for if they sign a contract. If you can bet on whether or not a guy's going to sign a four-year contract extension with a certain team.
Yeah.
But, or don't sign it, and we'll pay you to not sign it.
But how much are they going to pay him?
I don't know.
I mean, that's going to have to be a lot of money.
This is wild, man. Wild stuff. I can't imagine that one's going to go through, but everything that's going on in the NCAA, I still can't really imagine. Do you have the PJ Fleck thing, the head coach for Minnesota football? Not Nico Medved. He's basically just going off talking about how they're being tasked with controlling an environment that doesn't have the restrictions that professional leagues have. Here's what he had to say.
I think that, you know, everybody has representation now, right? So I think they have representation to, one, put them in the right, best position. They're hiring them, put them in the best position, and then give them as much money as they possibly can, or get them as much money as they possibly can. But I said earlier, I talked about the value system. Like, what do you really value? Is it just the highest dollar? Is it the right position for your future? Is this an environment that you value versus extra dollars? Are we the highest bidder? Maybe we are. But I think it's all got to fit together. It's all got to come together. It's the best example I give, and you've covered the Vikings forever, right? And it's the roles we're in is like you're the head coach, you're the president, and you're the owner, you're the GM, you're the director of player personnel, right? And you've almost got to be a negotiator as well of what you have in your budget. And you're doing that without the systems that the NFL has in place.
You can kind of figure out what guys are getting offered. I don't know how you do it here.
Well, sometimes those offers are real, and sometimes those offers aren't real. And you have to – I think there's a book called The Art of Making a Deal. There's got to be deals you walk away from. Ryan asked me earlier, this is weeks ago. He's like, it's just going to be interesting to see how you go through and make the decisions you make. And some decisions, it's not just a guy wanted to leave or had to leave, but both parties were just couldn't come to an agreement. You had to walk away. And that's part of deal making, and not just getting the deal done, but being willing on both sides to walk away from the deal and say, this is just not going to work. But there's a lot of things that the NFL has in place that we don't have in place just yet at all, that they function at a really high level for a reason. And college football does not have any of that right now. So it is a very unique environment to work in. I truly believe this. I'm not sure if anybody wants this, but you put a camera on somebody's shoulder and you do a reality TV show of what's going on right now, and Garrett's going back here like this. But I don't think the general public actually truly knows what college football truly looks like when you peel back the onion. However, as somebody who's in charge of a college football program, you still have a choice of how you run the program. And that's the whole part of adapting but not changing who you are. We have really, really good people in this organization. We have really good kids, and we want what's best for them too. And I think when you have people that want what's best for each other, you can come to an agreement somehow, some way. At the end of the day, it's about people. And if they really want to be here, we'll find a way to get them here. And
I mean, it's at the end of it, you know, that's good to say those things. Like, we got great people here. I'm sure they do. I mean, but at the end of the day, they're trying to operate a business that doesn't have the restrictions. Like, the reporter brought up the salary cap thing to Fleck there, Mike. Like, you have no idea what they're saying they're worth. And he's like, yeah, some of that's real, some of that's not. A player can come to you and say, hey, this is what I'm being valued. And they have this now. There's valuations up where you can see what this player's actually worth. Who's determining that? Who is determining what UNC Carver Cheeks, like, who's putting a dollar amount on him? We put dollar amounts in the NFL, and it's all kind of all agreed upon. Like, this is the quarterback market. This is the wide receiver. Oh, new quarterback just signed this deal. He just reset the quarterback market. This is also very new, but also, like, they have to deal with salary caps. They can go sign a great quarterback for a lot of money, and they can make him the highest paid quarterback in the world, but then they can't pay, you know, the five studs on defense. In college, it's like it's unlimited now for these big schools. It's unlimited. What did I tell you? It was like $80 million that Michigan State got? Was it $80 million, Mike? Or was it more than that? Was it two? Was it three? It wasn't three zeros, was it? It was like we're seeing $20 million. An anonymous donor just throws $20 million at a team, at a program. I mean, when you get that, there's no competition. At least for the ones that aren't getting, and that's not every big school. Not every big school is getting that kind of money. So without dealing with a true set, yeah, you have $20 million you can spend, but that doesn't count in the NIL. The NIL is extra. And that can be limitless.
Looks like $401 million from the donor cup.
Where did I get to $80 million? I don't know. $400
million. 401, yeah.
That's a lot. And that goes like, that can't go above their $20 million or whatever it's going to be threshold. But if that's put toward their NIL side, hey, put $20 million of this in your whatever that you can share, and then put the rest of it in their NIL bank. And then you can dish it out that way. That's how this thing is bypassed. Travis, the new guy, these anonymous donors are the investors somehow. Are they getting money back? Is there some secret way they get money back? For a lot of these donors, they're just donating because they want their football programs to win. They want them to win games. With Utah, they're actually getting an investor, not a donor, an investor that's putting money in initially and obviously hoping to get money back at the end. So it's crazy. All right, Mike, we all know the story of Nikola Jokic getting drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. Taco Bell is trying to maybe apologize and make a little money off of their missed opportunity years ago. What does that mean? We'll talk about it coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas.
Merry Christmas from all of us at Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're all in this together.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
All right, so Taco Bell is wanting to bring back the, what is it? The quesarito? The quesarito is what it is, Mike. And that, so the quesarito was famous for Nuggets fans because that was a commercial. Taco Bell commercial was airing, advertising the quesarito when Nikola Jokic was drafted by the Denver Nuggets. So we never actually got to see Joker get drafted. We got to see a Taco Bell commercial. And now Taco Bell apparently is bringing that back and maybe trying to toy with the idea of bringing Nikola Jokic in to be a spokesperson of that. Yeah, have Nikola Jokic involved. Taco Bell wanting to reach out. Joker at one point years ago said he's never had Taco Bell because of that commercial, kind of in jest, I suppose. Very interesting. And, you know, I just think this is going to be, you know, it's part of the Joker memory. It's all this stuff. And Joker even at one point said after he won his second MVP, said, hopefully we're going to have some percentage from Taco Bell about the whole thing. A news release from the brand of Taco Bell. Taco Bell is embracing the clip that never left internet consciousness and issuing a call for Nikola Jokic to finally try the quesarito that unintentionally stole his spotlight. This comeback's for you, Jokic. When asked if he would try the quesarito, Nikola Jokic said, no, it's nice they're finally apologizing, but no. they said their challenge accepted. They're coming at it. They're going to keep going. The chief marketing officer at Taco Bell said, we heard our fans loud and clear. Their passion turned the quesarito into a Taco Bell legend, and bringing it back for the holidays felt like the perfect way to celebrate that energy. And as for the moment that helped keep its story alive, Jokic, we hope there are no hard feelings. Should Joker team up with Taco Bell?
Well, first of all, it's not Taco Bell's fault. It's whoever went to commercial break. If it was a Lexus commercial.
Well, they bought the time that took the time up during the draft. So if, you know, that advertiser wouldn't have taken the time up, we could have watched the second round of the NBA draft, Mike.
Yeah, but it's not Taco Bell that went to commercial break at that time.
It's not Taco Bell's fault, but it's been a fun kind of thing, actually. I don't think Joker has really...
I think this is great, and I'd love to see the two go back and forth on social media.
I think it'd be great. I don't, like, Taco Bell markets to, you know, the youths.
Yeah,
now.
They're starting to do that now. I don't like these commercials.
But anytime Joker's in a commercial, it's freaking fire. It's amazing. Whether it's the Minion movie or it's the Hotels one that he did. I mean, they're all good. 34 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle. What does he think of Tyson Summers coming back as defensive coordinator for Colorado State? We'll talk to Kevin about that next. Rams Weekly coming up at 2 o'clock, so we'll get into more detail on all things Colorado State. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Kevin Lytle joining us now from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, my friend, looking forward to catching up with you here in studio at 2 o'clock for Rams Weekly. I know we'll dive into transfer portal stuff, the hot basketball that's going on right now. But I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about the Tyson Summers thing. That was I got to admit, man, that was a big shock to see that Tyson Summers is coming back to Colorado State as their DC. Do we have Kevin? Do we lose him?
Oh, you're back.
We got
him.
Sorry.
You dropped for a second.
We dropped Michael. He Steinered it. He messed it up. That means when you get something wrong, Kevin, he Steinered it.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome back.
So Tyson Summers, anyway, yeah. We'll be back as defensive coordinator. I expect staff official announcements from CSU on the staff pretty soonish. I think it's pretty close to complete. But yeah, I think it probably surprised most people, just not even really saying anything about anyone. You just kind of assume when a new coach comes in, it'll be a pretty significant, if not full, changeover. But the DC who was with Jim Moore at UConn went to Mississippi State, so obviously he was off the board and obviously met with Tyson Summers, and clearly Jim Moore must have liked the philosophies. And Moore is a guy that long time history as a coach overall, but I mean, he's defensive background. He's been an NFL and college football defensive coordinator. So he clearly would have strong feelings on that side of the ball and obviously liked what Summers was selling.
Without, belittling the rehire or the bring back of Tyson Summers, is this also, like you mentioned with Jim Mora, like his defensive background, is this also kind of mixed in one of those cases where Mora's got a lot of work to do? Transfer portal stuff, obviously we got done with signing day, this first portion. He's got to fill out the rest of his coaching staff. There's a million other things now a head coach has to do. Is this one of those where it's like, he doesn't have a bad resume. Had a weird year, obviously, but doesn't have a bad resume. Plus, I'm a defensive-minded guy. If we kind of hit it off, great. He can enact a lot of things I want. Let me just get that scratched off the list here easy enough. Then I can put my focus in other areas that certainly need to be addressed.
I mean, I don't think he would hire someone that he was uncertain of. It's just too big a position. You have to be pretty confident in what you're doing there. So, no, I don't look as sort of the easy, simple answer. I think it means that he believes in what Tyson Summers can do. And yeah, I think no doubt as the head coach who also has a defensive background, he'll have a say in things, but he clearly believes in Summers. And like you said, numbers last year, clearly not good. There were a lot of reasons for it, but Summers' numbers at Western Kentucky were pretty darn good. And there's now three straight coaches, but from Western to Jay Norvell to Jim Mora that want him as DC. So he's clearly a well-regarded coach in the game. I think some fan judgment maybe is clouded by the results as an interim head coach, which frankly have nothing to do with being a defensive coordinator.
No, and of course, in the court of public opinion, my first thought was, man, that's a tough gig, like to go into being an interim coach of a team that's already, proven to be pretty bad this year. They had a lot of injuries. I get that. But if the plan was Jay Norvell, how do I expect plan B to work out? Yikes. So I always was like, man, I, for his sake, you just hope it doesn't hurt his stock. And it didn't. He didn't get a head coaching gig out of it, but he didn't lose his job.
Yeah, totally. I know, for whatever it's worth, CSU administration thinks very highly of Tyson Summers and the work he's done and his philosophies and all that jazz. I think they believe that he's a head coach again in the future, somewhere, that he's, that type of quality coach. So, it'll be interesting to see how it goes and what they do. And I just wrote this in a mailbag. You need the right guys to run the scheme, but that's true for whoever they would have hired as DC. So the results of the defense are kind of still to be determined based on what's next, in the portal, because obviously CSU needs a lot more quality players.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And what are you hearing on the other side, on the offensive coordinator side of things?
Yeah, so that's another one. Gordon Samis was a likely candidate. He was the OC at UConn. I think Mora wanted him at CSU, but TCU plucks him. Obviously, that's just the power structure of college football right now. If a pretty high-level Power Four program comes for you, that's where you're going to end up, because I'm guessing the cash offer there is pretty high. So he's out, and I think almost certainly it'll be Price Tracy, who was the pass game coordinator and quarterbacks coach at UConn, so basically working under Samus. And UConn had a very electric offense, a great quarterback play. So on the surface, that seems like he probably is doing good. He's a younger coach. He was working at Georgia on Mike Bobo, coincidentally's offensive staff. And for whatever people want to think about Mike Bobo, the CSU football head coach, Mike Bobo, the offensive coordinator, is considered one of the absolute best in the game. He's once again up for the Broyles for top assistant in the country. So that seems like a pretty good place to have learned. And we haven't seen at CSU, but a healthy program, you have the next guy in place to replace someone when they, kind of move on. And so I think the theory is and hope is that's the case here of, he was ready to step into this role. So, it'll be a big, it's not a name necessarily that everyone knew, but on the surface, it seems like a guy that, probably should be able to come in and run the offense that Jim Mora had cooking at UConn.
This is why we got to have Kevin on. This is why we do this, because, again, you look at the fan base and they're so excited for Jim Mora, and then suddenly it's like, okay, they're bringing Tyson Summers back, which, like we talked about, this year was rough and the interim situation. Then you're seeing, nothing official yet on the offensive coordinator side, and now all the names entering the portal, which is what happens to literally every single team. The tone kind of shifted in like a week, it seems like, and this is why we have to have you on, Kevin, to help us kind of shift back, put things into perspective.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't know why it would have. There's people that seem to be thinking that's, kind of low-cost coordinator hires. I guess I'm wondering what people were expecting. Like, you're not going to go pluck, whatever, Kubiak from the NFL or something like this. I know the new Heisel name was out there, and obviously it's a big name, but he's very inexperienced as an OC. He wasn't a play caller until, the interim thing this season, so it's not like he's a long-time superstar coordinator or anything like that. So, it's a bigger name, but I don't know that he has any more resume than the guy that's coming. I think it's, again, Jim Mora has been in this game a long time, and if, he's had a good program going at UConn. So the guys that he believes in, I'm inclined to trust, because his OC and DC last year were plucked by TCU and Mississippi State, which, I've said this frequently, if no one is trying to hire your assistants away, you probably don't have good enough assistants. So the fact that his are going to power programs probably means he's been doing a good job selecting.
Yeah, I tend to agree, my friend. Kevin, I'll look forward to getting you in the Aloe Fiber studios here in about an hour, and we can break into this. We can talk basketball, maybe get into the state of college football, too, with the playoffs already making some edits to how they're going to be doing things going forward, at least just the first start of this thing. It's wild, my friend.
It's always crazy. There's never a quiet time in college football.
No, literally ever, and now officially. Kevin, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Tambit.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And 12:48 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. Coming up in the final hour, we got buy or sell. We got the Thursday night special. It's going to be a big one. And my guy, Brock Wisney, Mr. 29 points against Texas Tech, is going to join us in studio.
Game ball.
As well. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Don't go anywhere.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ed Lem, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Time was drifting. This rock got to roll. So I hit the road.
We're going to bring Brock Wisney in studio here in the second hour of the show. It's kind of a, like, we're packing it all together. I do want to, if we can, I want to spend some time talking Broncos-Jags next segment. We're going to skip buy or sell today, Mike, because I want to get into this. This Jaguars team, they're really good at one thing in particular that they said they had to be better in, and we're going to get to that. Trevor Lawrence has been outstanding the last few games, so I want to get into that discussion because, man, this Jags team, 25-plus points in seven straight games, and Trevor Lawrence is doing a lot of that without turning the football over. This is kind of a this Jags team's kind of middle of the road in almost everything they do. They are top 10 in total defense. They're first in rushing defense, so, well, the Broncos don't really lean on their rush. So they're not great against the pass. Could this open up another big day for Bo Nix? Let's talk about it. Hooligans, where are we at? Broncos going to take care of business? There is a roundabout way the Broncos could clinch the number one seed in the AFC this weekend. It is realistic. It's right in front of us. We'll be discussing coming up in the final hour of the show, the Thursday night special, the Rams, the Seahawks. Is Puka Nacua, is he still doing, like, is he doing live stream stuff anymore? Probably should stay away from that for a bit. All right, coming up, final hour, Broncos, Jags, who you got? We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.